This week on the Great Destinations radio show,
we're going to uncover a different side to Hong Kong.
One thing most people think about Hong Kong is that it's a very urban environment. You know, it's skyscrapers, there is a huge amount of greenery. There's a lot of country parks.
That's 13-year resident James Ross. He convinced me that Hong Kong offers more than the metropolis, incredible and unique as that is.
From where we're standing at the moment, right in the middle of Central, it would take us 15 minutes to be in the country park, and you could be hiking with a rucksack on your back and spend the whole day on the mountains, just enjoying the scenery and the quiet. And that's the great thing about Hong Kong, it's that contrast.
And this is where you'll probably arrive, Hong Kong's impressive airport. It's about 20 miles or so from central Hong Kong. It takes about an hour in a cab, but there is a better option. Get the fast train. You're in a tunnel for part of the journey, but it only takes 25 minutes.
Welcome to the Airport Express.
Some of Hong Kong is attached to the Chinese mainland, and before you cross the water to central Hong Kong, you go on the train through Kowloon. That's on the northern side of the famous Victoria Harbour. The area leading from the waterfront, it's full of shops and malls, some posh ones, running up a road called Nathan Road. There are also lots of hotels, and this is where I'm staying. It's as if Hong Kong has two city centres. This one, Kowloon, and then across the water, the area centred around Queen's Road. That's where you'll find lots of grand older buildings, with plenty of references to British colonial times. Urban Hong Kong offers tourists the mix of bars and restaurants and high-end shopping you would expect from such a major financial centre. At first glance, you could be in New York or perhaps London. They do have Topshop and Marks & Spencer here after all. There are some rather expensive places to eat if you fancy that, from Michelin-rated restaurants to some posh afternoon experiences like you'd get in London.
Well, I'm in the queue for what is Hong Kong's equivalent of having high tea at the Ritz. It's having high tea at the Peninsula Hotel.
You'll get a cheaper hotel in Kowloon, but you don't have to worry about being on the other side of the harbour and being away from the sights, because public transport here is really cheap. For speed, the tube can't be beaten. It's fast, clean and air-conditioned. Riding some of the transport systems should be on your to-do list. I'm at the world-famous Star Ferry Terminal, ready to cross to Hong Kong Island from Kowloon. You buy your token, it's about 25 pence one way, and you board the two-level, open-sided, green and white painted Star Ferry. They're quite an attraction in themselves. Most of the fleet were built in the 60s and 70s. Get to Kowloon by 8 o'clock at night, and on the waterfront you'll be able to take in a free light show. As you look back towards Hong Kong Island, the tower blocks along the waterside light up in a spectrum of colours, in time to music, as laser beams shoot out into the night sky and appear to dance to the musical rhythm. It's amazing. Well, for the best views down over the city's skyscrapers and the harbour, you can't beat a ride on the Victoria Peak tram.
More attention, please. Smoking, eating and drinking is prohibited in the tram station.
A 1.4 kilometre long funicular railway which rises 400 metres. It's busy and popular. The tram carries 11,000 people every day. At times you can end up queuing for over an hour for the 5-minute journey. It's not expensive though. It's just under £3 one way, but you don't want to spend your holiday queuing. It operates from 7 in the morning, so get up early and grab a cab to the top and ride the Victoria Peak tram down. But keep checking the weather. Fog and mist can obscure the view from the top. If you wake up to sunshine, do the peak while it's clear. And when you get back down, another travel experience is to ride the narrow trams. Here it comes, one of the slim trolley buses known as a ding ding because of the bells that used to ring on board. Really narrow, with just space for a single seat and a double seat in each row upstairs. I'll be warned, there's no air conditioning. Some are still wooden. There's one from the 1950s in the fleet with rattan and varnished teak seats. You can book sightseeing tours, but you might as well just catch one. this area and Kowloon is where you'll find all the big international brands.
Hong Kong has a lot of expensive brand shops in the city area. You shouldn't be taken in by thinking that that's Hong Kong. Step away from the main central city areas where the big shops are. Go and look at some of the smaller town areas where real people live, where people can buy cheaper things for cheaper restaurants. Everything's just a bit more real life.
Heads to Stanley. You'll find a market there, a bit like a British Sunday market. It's a really nice hour-long bus ride, winding through the wooded coast road, past beaches and bays. If you need new trainers, you'll find Sneaker Street in Kowloon.
Hello, boss. Hello.
In the evenings, you could come here to the busy Temple Street Market in Kowloon.
And you find yourself walking very slowly, single file, being pushed by the crowd, really, past the various stalls, from Japanese kimonos to football shorts.
I just love the way that the markets specialise. I've come to Tung Chui Street North. This is the goldfish market. A dozen or so shops full of aquarium tanks and all sorts of fancy fish.
The colour, the shape, all the things is perfect.
Are these angelfish?
No, this is discus.
And where did these come from?
Malaysia.
Specialist street markets are devoted to jade and electronics too. Well, after all that shopping, we're going to reveal places to relax around Hong Kong and discover the community where technology and tower blocks haven't taken over from tradition. It's a photographer's dream too.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.
It's the Great Destinations Radio Show. Today we're featuring Hong Kong. And what might surprise you is that it's not all built up. I caught the hour-long ferry ride from central Hong Kong to Lantau Islands. The airport's actually located at the other side of a 3,000-foot peak and Disneyland. But here it's really quiet. There's a small town, Mu Wo, with bars around the square and villas set around the wooded silver mine bay and beach. It's more Andalusia than Asia. Hong Kong is really full of surprises. It's about 8 o'clock in the evening, and I was just walking back to my hotel room, and I was overtaken by, I think, what you could best describe as a procession of cattle. There must have been about 40 of them. And they've decided to lie down on the beach. And they've been there for a good half hour now. At least they're not nicking the sun loungers. And just around the corner, two really pretty waterfalls. They've put up a Chinese-style pagoda there so you can sit and take in the view. Again, a sight and sound you wouldn't expect in Hong Kong. Well, I've just boarded a bus for a one-hour ride to Tay O. It's a small town that's been home to fishing families for generations. They've built their houses on stilts above the tidal flats. Well, this is really attracting photographers' interest. There's a manually operated drawbridge which links the two sides of the narrow creek, and the creek is lined by the wooden houses on stilts and lots of brightly coloured boats in the water alongside, so a good photo opportunity. I'll just have to make sure I don't get my thumb in the shot. Every couple of minutes you get a whiff of quite a strange smell, and you'll see big plastic blue, what look like beer barrels. Some are open and they've got this strange thick brown material inside them. It looks a bit like fudge, but you know from the smell it's not. It's shrimp paste. Many of the local fishermen harvest shrimps, and it really does stink. Well, there's another big attraction on Lantau Island, literally the Big Buddha. The statue stands 112 feet high. On top of a mountain, you reach it by climbing 268 steps. I got out of it because there was low clouds, so you couldn't actually see the top of the Buddha. That was my excuse. In one of the temples set around a square, you can get guidance about your future. You make a $2 donation and get given a wooden tube filled with bamboo sticks. If there's something you need the answer to, you ask the question, shake the holder until one of the sticks pokes out and falls on the ground in front of you. It's numbered, so you return to the booth and pick up a piece of paper corresponding to the number.
Number 20.
And there's an inscription saying what your fortune is going to be. Unfortunately, it's in Chinese. I had to ask for help.
Not the best, but also not the worst.
And I'm not going to tell you what I wanted guidance on either. Next, I headed back towards my hotel in Kowloon and stopped off at the Chi Lin Nunnery. It's a group of cedar Buddhist temples. They're built in Chinese style at different levels into the mountainside. And they're all set around squares filled with ponds, filled with fish. There are some beautiful gardens as well, and some pretty good vegetarian food, I'm told, although I'd already eaten, unfortunately. I promised to bring you some of the relaxing places of Hong Kong. I've come to bustling Kowloon, but in the middle of a tree-lined square is the Yung Po Street Bird Market. You'll see lots of beautiful coloured birds being carried around in cages. That sounds a bit cruel, but it was clear to me that the old men who walk around with these birds are really proud of their feathered friends. They love them. I tried to communicate with a parrot.
What did he say?
Leia.
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 I'm none the wiser. I promised to find you ways to relax and unwind in Hong Kong. I went for a Chinese foot reflexology massage. The experience was part pleasant and part painful as the woman pulled, tugged and yanked my toes and pounded my feet. At one point she was pressing my soles so hard with her thumbs I had trouble staying in the chair. And just when I started to relax, time up. It felt nice afterwards, so it's 10 years since I last had a reflexology foot massage in Hong Kong. One thing's changed, a sign on the wall offering free Wi-Fi. How you can relax and slide through your Facebook messages while somebody's bashing seven bells out of your heels, I don't know. After a busy day in the high humidity, it was nice to get back to my hotel, the Harbour Plaza 8 Degrees, and chill out around the pool area.
We designed this lovely place to let people to relax at our hotel. If they think our city is very busy, they have a lot of shopping out there. It's just a very relaxing atmosphere here.
It's right next to what was the airport in Hong Kong until 1998. The 8 degrees refers to the angle of the aircraft's climb when it had to leave that notoriously dangerous old airport. Catherine So says that angle has been incorporated into the hotel's design.
When we opened in 2009, and we are awarded as the best design hotel in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong is often used as a layover city for a night or two for travellers breaking their journey going further afield. There's more to the Pearl of the Orient, though. Turn a corner and you'll discover Chinese culture, calm spaces, countryside, and coves. Hong Kong can offer lots of holidays in one. Great destination.